If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a review and tap the follow button so that you never miss an episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Monday, best night of the week. And you know what that means? It's time for another episode of RFRX, your prescription for coping. I'm Kara. I'll be your host tonight. And we have returning co-host and last week's speaker with us today, Rob Palmer. Rob, how are you doing?
Oh, yes. Hello. Well, thanks for having me tonight. This is going to be a fun presentation on a topic quite not like anyone we've had before, hence my art background.
Yes, I am super excited for this. Normally you have like a space background or something topical. So I was super excited for your background today as well. We were all talking about it in the pre-meeting. So I'm super excited for your background and for the show.
We should record that and put that up for Patreons. What do you think? Like all these podcasters do, you know, extra material.
That's a good idea, but they might all be traumatized by all of our content.
Unfortunately, that's true.
I mean, hey, if you want to be traumatized, you can watch our extra content and then do art. We'll talk about that later. Would you like to introduce our special guest?
I can do that. So Lauren is an editor, atheist, and introverted weirdo. What? Who wrote that? I didn't write that. They work with writers and creatives to recover from perfectionism and work through deconstruction by using ugly art. I'm really interested to find out what this is. They want authors and artists to just do the damn thing being to let go of the illusion of perfection and get their work out into the world. Lauren's a writer and artist who focuses on making ugly things to bring playfulness into the creative practice and let go of mindset barriers. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. It was really fun listening to you read that. So thank you for that.
So did you write that? Did you write Introverted Weirdo?
I did. Yes. This is okay. It's my favorite way to describe myself.
I was hoping we weren't hacked.
Nope. That's all me.
The way things have been going, you never know who might have written those notes.
Yep. All me. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining us. And yes, we can see your screen. That looks awesome. So take it away, Lauren.
Perfect. Okay. Like they mentioned, I'm going to kind of put the chat away from me so I can focus. Otherwise, we will never get through this. But yes, thank you for having me. Thank you for that introduction. My name is Lauren. Like Rob said, I'm an editor and a creativity coach. And what a creativity coach basically means is people tell me why they don't believe in their creative dreams. And I tell them that nobody believes in their creative dreams, so they should do it anyway. It's basically what I do, mainly an editor, but that's kind of my side gig. And creativity has radically changed my life in the past 2 years. Has not been that long that I've been practicing creativity, which looking at kind of the poll results, it's fun to see that there are, you know, some people who are still very creative, but a lot of people who are kind of mixed in with, you know, not doing it since they were a kid, been several years. So that makes me really happy to see because I did not think I was a creative person for most of my life. And then this, I'll get into how I started doing it, but ultimately, I started using it to kind of process my religious trauma. And what I love about this term, composting religious trauma, it just seems like such a better fit for what creativity does. And I got this term from an artist friend of mine named Medora Fry, who has a chronic illness. And she uses abstract art to kind of, what she says, compost her trauma and pain to make something beautiful. Yeah, I just love this imagery of, you know, all of the shit that we can get from. Am I allowed to swear here? Should have asked beforehand.
Damn, yes.
Yes.
There is a slide Okay, just checking. Okay. So yeah, there's a lot of shit that comes up with when you're raised in religious environments, like I was. And so when we're able to churn all of that shit up and actually make it so that something beautiful grows from it, that is just like the best way to recover from trauma. in my humble opinion. Okay, so I want to get into my story a bit. I was raised in a Presbyterian Christian environment, which I was going to say is like a fairly tame section denomination of Christianity. But then when we were chatting before this, someone reminded me of this thing we used to do called 30-hour famine. And I was like, was it tame? I don't know. So I was raised by well-meaning people, which is like kind of the gist of it. I had a good childhood, but these are some of the lessons that I learned, which were not good, that I am inherently sinful, that I am too emotional. I was a very, very sensitive kid. And as I got older, my family was like, you need to tamp that down. That's not normal. Your emotions are too much. You're too much. So I learned to repress all of that. In that, learning also that my body is not to be trusted, especially when emotions are felt in the body. And then of course, there's all that purity culture that I was raised in, that your body's bad, you have to hide it, all that good stuff. And then that my thoughts could be infiltrated by the devil at any time. And that got especially bad when I got, I wasn't diagnosed for a long time, but I started showing signs of depression and anxiety when I hit puberty. And my family didn't believe in that. They thought that was just, you know, demonic forces. So they told me to pray, and praying didn't work. And as you can imagine, it taught me to mistrust myself completely, and kind of, you know, lose all sense of identity and personhood.
Lauren, did your sect go as far as to believe in possession by the devil?
No.
Or was it just the putting bad thoughts in your head?
Just the putting bad thoughts. And it wasn't something that's a good question. It wasn't something that they often said explicitly. It was more like either God is testing you, or, you know, I remember we were into like Demon Haunted World, that book. I don't know if any of you remember that book.
Oh, yes. We talked about it last week. Carl Sagan. Baloney Detection.
Or wait. Oh, that, sorry. That's not the book I was thinking of. Different book I was thinking of. I did read that.
I was wondering why y'all read that at church.
Yeah, that just shocked me.
I was thinking of a
Satan
different
wrote
one.
This. Satan wrote this book. Burn it.
No, it was, oh no, I forgot it. Shoot. It's not that one. Anyway, it was a book that was like, demons are in the world, but they're not actually demons anymore. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, yeah, so definitely like demonic forces, but not possession. And then I slowly started to deconvert and deconstruct a lot of those over the course of 5-ish years. You know, I think a lot of people start to notice hypocrisies in their religion, and then like, well, I don't believe in that anymore, but I still believe in this. And so, you know, through the years, I started kind of sloughing off the layers of religion until finally I was like, do I actually believe in any of this? And the answer was no. So then coming out of religion, there was a lot of confusion, lack of identity, loss of my community, but there was also some good things in there, like relief and freedom. And a lot of it was just untangling all of the lies that were taught. And so I saw a video the other day that made a good distinction between, you know, the deconstruction piece of it, where we kind of mentally go through and we figure out which things we don't believe anymore. So, you know, I didn't believe I was inherently sinful anymore. I didn't believe that I couldn't distrust my body. A lot of these things I deconstructed mentally. But then what's left is dealing with the trauma. And that's when your body still reacts to things, even though mentally you don't believe in them anymore, your body will still react as if you do. And so that is where the trauma of religion lies. And for me, I didn't know how to trust my emotions, my body. I was a total people pleaser and a perfectionist. And ultimately, it just left me with this feeling of like, who the fuck am I? I don't know what I actually like. I only know what I like to make other people like me, or what I like to make God happy with me. And that was one of the most traumatic things about religion for me personally, was just realizing how much of myself I had lost. And I was still trying to attain worthiness despite not believing that there was anyone out there handing out worthiness badges. And so this kept me very small. And so this all happened 10 years ago. I left religion 10 years ago. And like I said, that deconstruction phase happened rather not quickly, but it happened over the course of 5 years. And then maybe a couple years after that, still kind of making sense of things. But then there was this long stretch of time where I just was kind of listless and, you know, dealing with my mental health. And, but ultimately looking back on it, I can see that I hadn't dealt with the bulk of the trauma. And so I was still very much keeping myself small and trying to keep everything perfect, still trying to attain that kind of worthiness. And not really feeling like I had agency over myself or my life. So then came creativity, and this happened about 2 years ago. So I was, long story short, I didn't like my job. Big surprise, a lot of us don't like our jobs. But I figured out what I wanted to do, and that was to start a business. I wanted to start being an editor. And I quit my other job, because I was gonna focus on starting my own business. But this is where that physical piece of trauma started coming in of like, oh, I actually have to let people see me. I actually have to show my face. I have to talk to people. They have to know who I am and what I do and why they should hire me. And as somebody who thought that I was inherently unworthy of anything, that brought up a bunch of panic attacks and anxiety. I was terrified about everything. And so talking with my therapist, we were really kind of homing in on that, on this perfectionism piece of like, how can I start to let this go? And what I started doing was I started intentionally making ugly art. So I'm not an artist in the sense of I can't make good art. I don't know anything about colors and structure and lines, don't know anything about any of that. But I started making intentionally ugly art, and that started really connecting me with my inner child, which was kind of not what it was meant to do. What it was meant to do was help me get over my perfectionism. By, you know, like intentionally making something imperfect and being okay with it. But what it did is it connected me to this piece of me that always wanted to be heard, and that I never allowed to be heard. And so then slowly I started writing more. I started writing about my religious experience and kind of those core memories that really stuck with me, and I'd never really thought about why they stuck with me. So I started writing about those and kind of playing with them and changing perspectives and trying to kind of hone in on those details. And it became this very freeing and beautiful experience where I felt like I was actually making sense of it, making new meaning. And that just like slowly turned into this composted pain and confidence in myself and understanding of who I am and who I want to be. And that was very exciting. And this is why I want to talk to everybody about creativity now, because I'm like, everybody can do this. Like, I don't consider myself a creative person, or at least I didn't. And the fact that even I got this experience, I just was blown away. And I'm like, everybody can have this. Ooh, I'm getting all worked up.
I'm excited to hear you say that, because I am also not knowledgeable about any of the art things, and I'm quite unintentionally ugly with art that I attempt as well. So I'm really pleased that may be okay.
Yes, it's 100% okay and encouraged. I love it so much. I'll have to show you some of my ugly art as we go. And actually,
yes.
I'll have a moment later on where I'm going to challenge you all to make a little bit yourself. So it'll be exciting. Okay, so some of the cool things about creativity are the ability to start to unlink your beliefs and to make new neural pathways. And so it can allow you to start to unlink those beliefs that you still hold unconsciously. So like I said earlier, the deconstruction piece where you start to be like, okay, I don't think I believe in this anymore. And then your body still reacts as if you do believe in it. So art can kind of, as you play around with that and delve into it and start to examine how you're feeling through a different medium, it can be a really cool thing to start to actually uncouple it in your body as well. And then another thing is just finding a depth within you that you didn't know was there. I think finding out that all of this kind of magic and beauty that I had always associated with a higher power, finding out that it can actually just come from within myself was a very empowering experience after leaving religion. Just surprising yourself by what can come out when you have no idea what you're going to bring to the page, which is one thing that I love about ugly art, is that you're not planning to make anything in particular. You're like, I'm just going to put this marker on a paper and start scribbling. And then I end up giving things eyeballs and I end up like making weird monsters. And I wouldn't have made those things if I hadn't just tried and thought to ask what's in this brain of mine. It's just a really beautiful experience. And then processing our experience and making meaning out of it, or finding peace with its meaninglessness. One of the things that really bothered me about, you know, religion is that, you know, that line of like, everything happens for a reason, God has a purpose for you. That always really bothered me, especially when bad things would happen, or I'd see bad things in the world. And I'm like, there's no meaning in so much of this. And so that always really bothered me. But what's really beautiful about creativity is the ability to make your own meaning, make your own story. And again, like I said earlier, changing those neural pathways for yourself. I don't know if any of you have seen Michaela Cole's I May Destroy You. It's a TV show. It's on HBO. It's fantastic. Be sure to watch or check all of the content warnings before you watch it, because it is very triggering. It's very, very hard to watch at times, but it is one of the most powerful pieces about using art to compost trauma and make something beautiful. So I highly recommend watching that. But it is this, there's this final scene where she is transforming the story. She's retelling it to herself and flipping it upside down and seeing what ways she can change it to kind of make herself powerful. And you're able to do that with art. And then lastly, just that art doesn't need to make sense. It doesn't need to be good. It just needs to come from you, and you have to find meaning in it, but it doesn't need to make sense to anyone else. You don't have to show it to anyone else. It can just be something personal that you do for you. Eileen Miller is an art therapist, and she says the art can permeate the very deepest parts of us where no words exist. And that's exactly those emotions and those traumas that we feel that we don't understand why they're still there. Those pieces where you're reacting and you're like, why is this still happening? You might not even have words to express it, but you might be able to draw out with a marker just how frustrated you feel. And so it's a way of kind of letting go of the coping mechanisms that we can't quite understand. Oops, went too far. Okay. So currently I'm reading this book by Melissa Phoebos, called Bodywork. And in it, she talks about, so it is the radical power of personal narrative. So this is specifically about writing, but she talks about James Pennebaker, who had a theory that expressive writing could help people's overall health. So he was noticing people going to the doctor more often, people with chronic pain and getting illness more often, who had traumas that they kept buried and kept secret. And so he ran experiments where group one would write about that past trauma, and they would express their most deep feelings and thoughts about it. And then group two would write objectively and factually and not insert any of their opinions about it. And then they followed those people after the experiment and found that the people who wrote expressively, who shared their most deep thoughts and feelings about their trauma, they had better health in the years to come. They went to the doctor less often. Often they expressed a decrease in obsessive thinking, just an improvement in their overall health of those writers. And he makes it clear that this does not mean you're never going to get sick. Not that at all. It is just a first step towards healing, especially just those things that we build up in our body. One said that the experience of writing about their trauma was very unsettling, but that it was also healing and valuable. So as you're going into this, if you do decide to start writing about traumas that have happened, memories and that are difficult for you to think about, know that it's going to be hard and that you should take care of yourself while you're doing it. Have a plan for how to take care of yourself before, during, and after writing, and hire a therapist as necessary. He said,
Don't forget the Secular Therapy Project is a great place to find one.
Exactly. Thank you, Gareth. James Pennebaker says that people who benefit from writing express more optimism. They acknowledge negative events. They're constructing a meaningful story of their experience and have the ability to change their perspectives as they write. So, for those of you who are saying that creativity is for creative people, so this doesn't apply to me. I'm gonna make a bold claim that you may or may not agree with, but this was the case for myself, and that was this statement was coming purely from perfectionism. I can't do it well, so I shouldn't do it, or I'm not good at that, so I'm not gonna enjoy it. I'm not good at that, so it shouldn't exist in the world. So perfectionism it comes at us from all different sides in society. And I think especially with religious backgrounds where you believe that you're an inherently bad person, or that, you know, you're always striving to please this deity who's all knowing and all powerful, that's a really high bar to set for yourself. So perfectionism can show up a lot for us. So let's take a pause on that, because I'm going to come back to perfectionism, but I want us to think for right now, let's follow Elizabeth Gilbert's quote from her book, Big Magic. If you're alive, you're a creative person. Full stop. We are a creative species. That is what sets us apart from other animals. It is how we have survived and evolved. We are inventors. Whether or not you think specifically about writing or drawing or painting, you're creative in some way or another. And it's just a matter of finding what you enjoy being creative with. So where can you start? I started, and I think that it's a great place to start, with ugly art. So one of the great things about it is that you're not just diving into like, I'm going to make art about my trauma, because that's, yes, good, we want that, but also we want you to develop a good relationship with your creativity first. So ugly art is a really great way of getting playfulness into the mix and reconnecting with that inner child, figuring out what you find funny, trying to make yourself laugh, bringing levity to the creative process before you start delving into, processing and cultivating that, or not cultivating, composting that religious trauma. Start with actually improving your relationship with your creativity. And then obviously, if you already have a great relationship with your creativity, then you can go from there. But so that's a really great place to start. Art therapy is incredible. I recently started seeing a new therapist who integrates art therapy into our sessions. And it's a really, really cool experience, especially, I don't know how many of you have been to therapy, but there are times when I'm in therapy and I don't know what I'm experiencing. I have a hard time putting words to what's going on. And what's cool about the art therapy is that my therapist will just pause and they'll be like, okay, why don't you grab some markers, grab a color that resonates with you right now, and just start kind of drawing out what you're experiencing. Usually it's a bunch of scribbles, but then they'll maybe ask me like, okay, now let's draw how you would like to be feeling about this situation. And then they look at my crappy drawings and they kind of, we talk about it and we talk about what that art was able to unveil that my words couldn't. And it's just a really cool experience. So highly recommend that. Journaling and writing prompts. I'm going to have an offering for you all at the end that I put together a list of writing prompts that are specifically around kind of reflecting on your religious experience. So I'll have that for you all. And then for all of you chronic journalers who buy journals and then you're too scared to fill up the journals with your writing or art, Kara's pointing at the screen.
Yes, you have no idea how many journals I have that have nothing in them. Or I write something and then I'm embarrassed and I tear that page out and don't ever touch it again.
I do know because that was me for a very long time. My recommendation for you is that pick one, just one amongst the many, and specifically write a permission note for yourself on that journal, either on the cover or on the first page, but just stating, this is going to be a wild mess. This is going to be a place of ugliness and processing, and it's not going to make sense to anyone, so just don't look at it. But give yourself that permission to make a mess of it. It doesn't have to be this thing that looks so beautiful and has all my beautiful musings in it. Like, it doesn't have to be that. Make it a mess. Poetry is a really fun place to start, especially because at least the way I do poetry, which is that it doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to follow any kind of scheme or measures. I just kind of think about random words and then I put them down and it's great because it doesn't have to make sense. A lot of poetry doesn't make sense to the people who didn't write it, but if it makes sense to you, then it is worth doing. Lastly, I want to talk about this thing called gateless writing sessions, which I'm happy to send out more information about these. I just recently started attending them, but this is especially if you are interested in maybe sharing your writing one day, or even just if you're really struggling with that inner critic piece where you're constantly frustrated that what you're writing isn't what you wanted to say, and it's you're just constantly kind of fighting with yourself when you write. Gateless writing is a session where you start off with kind of like a meditation. You get in touch with your body, and then you write for 20 minutes, and then you actually read it aloud to the people in the group, and they give you feedback on it. But the good thing about this gateless writing is that all of the feedback you get is positive. You only hear back on what is positive, resonant, like if they like your alliterations or your word choice. You could write about your grocery list and they would still find something positive to say about it, which is what my friend Meg, who runs these sessions, likes to say. And it's been a really powerful thing for me, especially coming from, you know, ugly art was where I started. And then gateless writing is where I've actually been able to be like, oh, I actually kind of like my writing. It's not all ugly. So that's been a cool place to start to get more inspired about your creativity. Okay. Like I said, we're going to come back to the perfectionism piece. So much of this is a perfect storm for us coming from religious backgrounds. You've got the indoctrination of beliefs that you have this status, this thing you're trying to attain constantly, which is to be, you know, a perfect human being so that you're worthy to get into heaven. So you spend your life trying to do that in some of our cases. And then you leave, but again, that piece, that perfectionism trauma that still lives in your body and you still want things to be perfect. And then a lot of us have an initial artistic wound. And that is just at some point in your life, you probably learned that you weren't good at art the way someone else wanted you to do art. And so then you believed you should never do it ever again. It could have been something as simple as just like a teacher not liking your work or someone making fun of something that you drew. For me, it was in high school. I mean, I was one of those straight A kids that if I got less than an A, I would cry because I wasn't perfect. And then in high school, we had an assignment to write out this like creative horror story for Halloween. And I actually got really into it. And it was the first time I remember being super excited about my writing. I was like, oh, this is so cool. I had such a fun time like making things all spooky. And it was really fun. And then I turned it in and I got a D on it, which is the worst grade I had ever gotten on anything. And so yeah, I was like, well, clearly I liked this and it was trash, so I can't be trusted with anything writing related and I'm never gonna write again. So that was my initial artistic wound. So you might be able to think of something similar that happened to you. It's happened to a lot of people that I've met who struggle with their creativity today. And then on top of that, we have society's insistence that whatever we do needs to have monetary value or a specific number of likes and follows online. And that's just kind of equals perfectionism. That's, you know, what else is there going to be except perfectionism from all of that? So what I have found to be the best way to navigate this is to, one, make things imperfect on purpose. And then also bring kind of a mindful presence to kind of retrain our bodies that it's safe to be imperfect. I actually, an episode of my podcast came out today that's all about building up a tolerance for imperfection. Because it is, that's that your body reacts when things are imperfect and you want it to be a certain way because we want to control it. And the more you can train your body, like, nope, it's okay. It is safe to be imperfect. It's going to be all right. And then slowly your body stops reacting quite so much to that. In her book, Power of Fun, Catherine Price says, rebelling against perfectionism and formality is a great way to help yourself become more comfortable in your own skin. And this was my experience. And this is where a lot of that composting of the religious trauma came in, which was, you know, the more I made ugly things, the more I decided to delve into my creativity and explore it further and be okay with things not being perfect, the more I kind of realized that it's okay that I'm not perfect. And all of that shit from religion that said that I had to attain this level of perfection, that started to fall away, and I'm able to now make it something more beautiful and more fun and more me. Now I want us to practice. So if you have a pen nearby and some paper, grab those. If you don't, you can also just open up a Word document or a notes app on your phone, and you can use this to be writing based. So if you want to write, you can write. If you want to draw, you can draw. But first things first, whenever you're settled, I'll get mine too. Tell yourself, I'm going to make something ugly. So give yourself that permission in this moment of making something ugly. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be great that it's bad. And then I want you to think on this prompt. I am free to live my life. And then scribble out whatever that feeling looks like for you today. It doesn't need to make sense to anybody. It doesn't even need to make sense to you. It can just be whatever comes out on the page. And I'll give us about, 5 minutes to do this. Just explore what's there. I need to set a timer.
Are the hosts and co-hosts excluded from this, or do we have to do it too?
Oh, you got to do it, Rob.
I'm doing it.
I'm trying, Rob.
Do I have to show it to anybody?
No, you don't have to show it to anybody.
Okay.
All right, that's 5 minutes.
Okay, that was a lot of fun. I have to say that was more fun than I thought it would be, given that I don't draw things.
I drew something that I used to be obsessed with as a kid. I don't remember how young, but it was probably in grade school, and I haven't drawn it since then, and I reconstructed it, I think, pretty well.
Oh, nice. I love that. So this is what I ended up drawing. It is just a madhouse of pink scribbles.
It's pretty, though. You said it was ugly. It's not ugly.
So this is the beautiful thing about ugly art, is that it can be, like, you can set out to make something ugly, and you can end up making something that you think is actually really cool. And you can also end up making something that is truly hideous. I'm trying to find my whale. Here's my this was an octopus I drew that really cracked me up.
Oh my goodness, I love that.
It's just, there are just times when you actually give yourself the space to just go. It's mostly for me just like, can I make myself laugh and find some levity and excitement in my day today? So I hope you enjoyed that. And we can, if anyone wants to share during the Q&A, I would absolutely adore that.
Rob is showing us his.
That's my amazing flying duck. In the style of Snoopy flying in the Peanuts, he has a little World War I plane and he's flying it with goggles on and a scarf.
I love it.
Memory is a tricky thing, but like, it seems to me that's exactly how I drew it the last time I drew that, which is probably 45 years ago, which is weird.
I love it. So cool. You're already getting in touch with that inner child. Mm.
Y'all, save your drawings for the hangout. We'll do show and tell.
It'll be so good.
Maybe I'll show you mine.
I hope so. Okay, so
it's ugly.
Good. That was the assignment. You understood the assignment. Okay.
Yay,
so
did I get an A?
Yes, you got an A. Everyone gets an A in ugly art. That's why I like it. okay, so now, as I mentioned, as you're kind of cultivating this relationship with your creativity, whether you already have it or it's something new that you're wanting to explore, just be sure to keep yourself safe as you're doing it. As I mentioned before, it can, as you start kind of writing about some of the more traumatic aspects that you want to really dive into and compost and create something new, be sure to take care of yourself before, during, and after. And you know, if you start to touch on subjects that are really triggering for you and you start to actually get very upset, make sure you have somebody who you can talk to, a trusted friend. You know, RFR has some amazing resources for you, the call-in line, the secular therapy, so many great resources. And then as you start to pursue your creativity more, you can ask yourself, do you want to share it? And if so, are you safe to share it? Keeping in mind that coming from some certain religious communities, people can be very angry and sometimes violent towards people who are expressing their views on leaving religion. So keep that in mind and make sure you're safe. You're sharing it in safe spaces. Use pen names if you need to. You can create private accounts. You can create something under a pseudonym. Or you can just only share in certain places, like on Recovering from Religion's blog, Excommunications, or there's another literary magazine that just started recently, started by Grace Dellis, called Hyssop and Laurel. It's a very cool literary magazine. I got my first piece published with them, which was very exciting. But they now have their second edition out. And you can submit pieces to them. You can buy their magazines and just like see other people's art. There's art, there's poetry, there's other kinds of writing in it. It's very cool. And then lastly, just remember that your art is not you. So if you start to go and share your art, know that people might say things about it. You can't help what people say, but just know that any comments about your art is not comments about you. You are a separate entity, no matter how personal that story is for you, even if you are sharing something deeply personal and true, that piece of writing still is not you. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind as you maybe get responses from people, criticisms, anything like that. Just know that you are a safe space and that comments towards your writing or your art are not about you.
Thank you. That made me feel a little better after I read Richard Calwood's comment. He couldn't follow what was going on in my drawing. I thought it was so clear, Richard.
Oh, good. No. Love this that. Is going to be Rob's artistic scar.
No. We don't want that. And then lastly, find a community to do it in. It can be hard to start writing or drawing or singing or dancing or playing music or whatever creative avenue you want to go down. It can be hard to do it by yourself. It can be hard to keep a routine. So there are lots of options available to you. If you're interested in writing, there are writing communities. I run one called the Writer's Helm. And while it is not specifically for people who have left religion or are questioning religion, it is run by myself and a colleague who both had negative experiences with religion. So we get you. And then Hyssop and Laurel is that literary magazine I was talking about. They have since started a Patreon page that has a really cool community where people are sharing their writing with each other. So that's a really awesome option. You know, there are painting classes, find people to jam groups, play music together. And then if you're interested in kind of this ugly art aspect, I have an ugly art night once a month. And the next one is actually this Thursday. So if you're interested in anything that we've done today, definitely go sign up for it. I'll drop the link in the chat whenever I'm done. But yeah, that's fun. It's called Come As You Art. And it is, either the last Thursday or second to last Thursday of every month. And yeah, thank you so much. I'm excited to chat more with you all, but if you're curious about anything that I do with like the creativity coaching or whatnot, you can drop your email in the chat and I'll just make sure to snag that so we can stay in touch. And then, like I said, I have, I will drop these links in the chat as well. I have 10 free writing prompts that focus on processing your religious trauma. And then I also have an Ugly Art 101 course, which is kind of what it sounds like. It's just me kind of talking you through the ugly art process. It's a 5-day course, but the first day is totally free and there's no, you don't have to sign up for the other ones if you don't want to. But they kind of each day goes through like a different misbelief that we have about art and what it has to be. So that's very fun. And that's what I got.
Okay, I love this. Yeah, and we are already getting questions about where do we find this? Where do we find this Come As You Art class meeting?
Yes, I will drop that in the chat in just a second.
I think that is fantastic. And while you're doing that, I will let you do that while you're not talking. I understand how it is difficult to do multiple things at once, as we all witnessed at the beginning of the show. Sometimes it's hard to read your notes and put things in the chat at the same time. But I am wondering too, while you're at it, after you post those, we just did one of your drawing prompts. Could you share one of the writing prompts with us?
Yes, absolutely. Let me drop this final link.
I mean, if anybody's interested in doing another exercise, I feel like we have a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me pull it up.
Because I loved the drawing one, and I really like this. We've been doing a little bit more like interactive things on RFRX lately with last week's episode with Rob. It was very interactive. We had some kind of trivia questions, and this week we're getting some engagement with actually doing some activities, and I'm liking this. I don't know how y'all are feeling about it in the chat, but let us know if that's something you're enjoying or if you do not want to have as much participation.
So here's one of the prompts. I will drop it in the chat. Write about the rules you no longer want to follow. Oops, it has like a funny break in the writing, but whatever, you get the gist. I can set another timer and we can, let's write for a bit.
Ooh, okay. How long do we have for this one?
Let's just do another 5 minutes.
Okay.
So
it can be longer if you want.
Is this ones that you have not broken yet, but you wanted to, or are we including ones that we broke that we've already?
You can interpret it however you want. So it can be kind of those rules that, you know, stuck with you when you were a kid. It can be something that you've abandoned long ago, but you were thinking about recently. It can be however you want to interpret it.
Okay.
All right, rules we no longer want to follow. Go.
All right, that's 5 minutes.
Ooh, that went fast.
And yes, thank you, Helen. If you, nobody, anything you write does not need to be shared by any means. How was that?
Karen. I had feelings.
That was fun.
Yeah, as I'm a wordy person, I have feelings, and I will share later.
Okay. This is going to be a fun hangout tonight, y'all. We're going to share our art and our writings, if whoever wants to.
Sounds great.
Yeah. That one was more difficult for me, actually, than the drawing prompt, which is interesting because I write, like, in some ways for a living, but I do not do art under any circumstances. But for some reason, the picture drawing came really easily to me. I mean, it's hideous, but that was the assignment. So I did it right.
But... yeah, sometimes I find that I really like just using markers, but it's just, it comes a lot more easily. Sometimes the words kind of get stuck. And sometimes I'll use the physical drawing art as kind of a jumping off point. Especially if my words are all tangled up, I will draw first and then kind of see if anything stands out, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. But yeah, it's kind of a fun way to combine them.
I couldn't really come up with anything. So either I'm breaking all the rules I want to break, or I just don't want to break any rules. I don't know. But did you read what ChatGPT said?
No, I didn't. Was that
actually very lucid? I asked ChatGPT, what rules should I no longer follow? And it was a very good answer, I thought.
Do you want to read it?
Specific advice without more context about your situation.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, it started that way. However, in general, you should critically evaluate any rules or beliefs that you have been following to determine if they are still applicable or useful to your current situation. Here are a few potential areas to examine. Social norms. Some social norms may be outdated or harmful, and it's important to question and challenge them. For example, gender roles, beauty standards, certain cultural practices may not align with your values or beliefs. I mean, that's brilliant. Personal beliefs. We all have beliefs that we've inherited from our upbringing or cultural background. However, it's important to question these beliefs and determine if they align with our current values and experiences. This is like a psychologist wrote this. Rules that limit growth. Sometimes we set rules for ourselves that limit our growth and potential. For example, if you believe that you're not good at public speaking, you may avoid opportunities that could help you improve. I would have written that a little differently to point out that you could therefore try it. if that's not clear, unhealthy habits. If you have habits that are detrimental to your physical or mental health, it may be time to reevaluate and make changes. For example, if you're constantly overworked and not getting enough sleep, it's important to recognize the negative effects and make changes. All right. In summary, it's important to regularly evaluate the rules and beliefs that you follow to ensure that they align with your values and goals. Wow.
There you go.
Wow, that was really good. I wonder if we can have ChatGPT on for an episode sometime.
my writing started just going into how I, so one of the things that I still hold very closely is this fear of being naked. So I just wrote that that was one of the rules that I wanted to not follow, was I wanted to learn how to be naked more often. I won't go into all of it because
we have an RFRX that's actually uploaded to our playlist. Yes, Gwen talked about nudism. You might.
Well, there you go. I'll have to listen to that one because yeah, it's something that I've always had a hang up on. So.
I'm gonna grab the link.
Places I should be able to be naked in.
I think that might be one of our most popular episodes.
Yeah, you think? Just because of the title.
I'll grab it in a minute, but yeah, that's an excellent point. That's a rule that, you know, I didn't even think about when I was writing my list, but yeah, I like that one. And we have an episode for that. So hold on, and it's going to come to the chat.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Here it is. I found it. Oh, no, wait. That's not it. Hold on. I don't know why it's not coming up. Stand by. I'll find it. Anyway, yes, that was. Oh, here it is. I got it. Hang on. I'm getting the link. Sorry, I almost started playing it. All right, got it. There it is. Okay, now you can learn about nudist life, what it is, and why it can be good for you with Gwen Blodgett.
Amazing. I'm definitely going to listen to that.
I highly recommend that one. And now that is going to skew our numbers too, because it's already the most watched one. Now it's going to be even more. Great, it's timely. This is really interesting and fun, though. I loved both of these exercises. I did have a clothing related one on my list too. I said I'm gonna stop wearing things that are called business clothes because they don't have pockets in them. They are not functional. Like,
they never have pockets.
No, yep. Not doing it. I'm done with business professional clothing that is not functional. That's a no. It's not happening anymore.
I love that. Love that for you. That was one of my favorite things about starting my own business, was I just get to wear sweatpants every day.
Excellent. That is motivational. I love that. Okay, well, you have given us a lot to think about and a lot of activity prompts that I cannot wait to do more of. I am definitely going to do some of the other writing prompts and draw some other hideous pictures. I cannot wait. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us, Lauren. This was really, really great.
Of course. I'm glad. I'm excited to hear your questions.
Yes, and we have several, so I think now would be a good time to move into those. Unless, is there anything else that you want to mention, any more links or anything before we go on to that?
I think I got all of my links in there for you all, and they all take you to my website anyway. But I guess especially if you have been considering writing your story, publishing a book. I am an editor. So if you have questions about that process, I would love to talk to you. Yeah, that's kind of the main thing. I'm very passionate. I want more people to tell their leaving religion stories or their deconstruction stories. I don't think we have enough of them. We always need people to share their stories so that we all know that we're not alone, and that there is hope and life to be lived and excitement after leaving religion. Sharing our stories is so impactful and powerful. So highly recommend doing that if you feel so called. And yeah, I'm happy to help you do that in some way if I can.
Awesome. That is a great point. I love that so much. This is great. This has been so many things that you've shared with us that I think are tremendously helpful. And that, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about a whole bunch of topics on here that are all interesting and useful. And it's people telling their stories and giving good advice. And I don't know why we haven't had more on, you know, kind of the usefulness of creativity in dealing with some of these things, because I don't know about anybody else here, but I definitely, your talk resonated with me when you were talking about some of the feelings that you were left with and needing to kind of deconstruct and work through and how it remained kind of in your body, even after you didn't believe it anymore. We hear that a lot from people. So These are great exercises. Thank you so much.
Good. I'm so glad, of course.
Okay, well, let's go into questions. And the first one is a great segue here. Someone's wondering if you've written anything for our blog on excommunications yet. That's the name of the blog.
I have not. I am one of the volunteer editors for it, though. So if you write in, I might edit it. The only thing I've had published or shared really has been the piece that was published in Hyssop and Laurel's inaugural edition. But yeah, I haven't done a lot of blogs. And so this is an interesting thing too, is just like the idea of sharing your writing. So I can share my ugly art any day. I don't care, because I put this label on it of like, it's ugly, and people get what they get, you know? But when it comes to sharing my writing, I have been a little bit slower in sharing that. And a lot of this processing and stuff has been much more just for myself. But I am starting to share it a little bit. So I may publish on or post something on excommunications at some point for sure.
That'll be cool. When I'm on the helpline with people, it's somebody who's calling who doesn't realize that they're going through something that someone else has probably already gone through, I often do recommend the blog, and I always tell them they'll find stories there that may resonate with them. So definitely adding something there would be great. So someone asked the question, have you ever shown your art? I like to do that anonymously, but I haven't gotten any idea where to start.
Yeah, I mostly share it on Instagram. I like to, with my kind of my business Instagram is, I like to encourage people to share their art. And so I'll make videos where I share my ugly art. But one of my creative outlets is my podcast, which is also called The Ugly Podcast, as you may have guessed. And so that's kind of another place where I share myself and my message. But yeah, in terms of sharing it anonymously, yeah, you could just get either like an Instagram, a TikTok under a different name and just start posting stuff in there. If you want to like actually submit it to places, you can always actually submit it to like literary magazines that accept art. Sometimes they're not all like word, like writing. Sometimes they also publish art to go along with it. So yeah, there's lots of places to just start. I think I would definitely recommend just like starting an Instagram page. And
so Lauren, you want to give an elevator speech about your podcast?
Sure. So my podcast is a place for creatives to come and talk about the kind of messy side of creativity and kind of the ugly things that we wrestle with a lot as creative people. So we talk about perfectionism a lot. We talk about burnout. We talk about the inner critic, imposter syndrome, stuff like that. So I started it originally with my creative partner friend, who did it with me for a while, and we would just talk about these things ourselves. But they have since had to go be a badass with their own business and didn't have time to do the podcast anymore. So now it is me, and I interview other creative people who want to come and chat with me.
Okay, great.
That's awesome. I love everything that you're doing. You are doing great work. Thank you for being out there and doing all that.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, and then I get another very basic question, but I'm actually curious about this too. Someone was wondering if you could tell us again, what was the name of the HBO program that you recommended earlier while you were talking?
Yeah, it's called I May Destroy You. And yeah, like I said, definitely check the content warnings of that show, because it is very intense.
Okay, good to
Very
know.
good.
I'm adding that one to my list too.
That was too easy, Car. You take the next one.
I know. Okay. All right. That was pretty easy. This is okay. We'll go to the next one. Okay. Do you think creativity? Well, let me start over. You jinxed me, Rob. You said it was too easy. Now I can't talk.
As Helen says, words are hard.
Words
They
are
are
hard.
very, very hard. They're so hard.
I'm going to instead show you this ugly drawing and see if you can guess the question. No, I'm kidding. The question is, do you think
Pictionary. I like
creativity?
Pictionary.
We'll do that next week, y'all. Probably not, but we'll see. Do you think creativity beyond an artistic medium can extend to dressing what best expresses you?
Can you repeat that?
Let me see if I said that right. I may have had a typo in there, but I think basically what it's asking is, does it have to be art? What kinds of creative media can be used to kind of address what's going on with you personally, I guess, or
Oh,
with
such
someone
a good
personally?
question. I think it can be, I think creativity extends far past what we can put on a page. I think creativity can be used in how we move about the room. You can move about the room creatively. You can crab walk. You can slide along the walls. You can electric slide. You can do so many different things. Like using your body to be creative, I think, is the Ministry of Silly Walks. I love that. Yes, you can skip. Yes, I think creativity extends far beyond just writing or drawing. So it can be music. I think what that question was getting at was like how you dress, I think. Yeah, you can express yourself through your fashion. That is so cool. That's such a great way to express yourself. I think it really just matters on like how you're being intentional about it, of just like, especially when you want to delve into your thoughts and emotions and deal, like if you want to delve into trauma specifically, it would be like it would be just a very intentional way of doing that. So would you like, choose a color that represents how you feel that day and like use the colors to kind of represent what you're feeling, or textures or layering things. Like it's there, yeah, there's so many ways to express yourself creatively. So 100%.
Okay, so the next one was one I was actually thinking of interjecting and asking, but I didn't. So someone else put it in the chat. You've used the term compost and composting in connection several times with this. Is this your creation or did it come from somewhere else?
It did come from someone else. So there's this artist that my sister-in-law introduced me to, named Medora Fry. And she has a chronic illness, and she describes how she uses abstract art as composting her pain and the pain that she has to deal with. And then she also had a traumatic incident happen with her husband. And so she had PTSD from that for months, years after that. And she would get up in the middle of the night when she could not sleep because she was having panic attacks. And she would just splash paint on a page and she would make abstract art. And that, like making that, is what helped her, compost all of that trauma and all that pain into these beautiful paintings that are absolutely stunning.
Okay, Kara, I gave you that other one, which I didn't know what it meant to read, and now you got a long one that's two
Yeah, so
paragraphs.
that's who it
is. I see what's happening here. This is payback for me doing your part of the notes at the beginning of the show. That's fair. Okay, so we have another long question. We can break it down into a few bits and pieces if you'd like, but it's an interesting question. And they say, a lot of this tonight is centered around more traditional art, like drawing, writing. Have you given any thought to how creative problem solving is integrated? Perhaps the UK show Taskmaster is a good example. I spent a long time thinking I wasn't creative because I wasn't artistic until I realized as a developer, I often have to think about solving my use cases with novel approaches. Redneck engineering, in quotes, a la Red Green Show could be another example. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. So kind of how I answered that other question of like, there are so many different ways for creativity to come up in our lives. I think the question is mainly like, how would you use that to, you know, take a look at yourself internally? And so that's kind of where the, you know, drawing and art and writing is, it's easier to do those things and kind of reflect the inner world that we're trying to like process. Or compost. So I think that those things are all wonderful aspects of creativity. And when I said like every single human being is creative, that's exactly what I meant. All of that creative problem solving, that is like, that's who we are as human beings. That's what we do, is solve problems creatively. So I think the reason that I mainly focus on writing and drawing in this presentation is because that's how I've found I'm able to look at my inner world more closely. But it does not, that's not to discount any of the creativity that can be found that doesn't necessarily reflect our inner world, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. All right.
Okay, and the last official question we have in our list is, do you have any other tips for letting go of perfectionism? The person says, I find it easy for me to do ugly art when I don't have to share it, but when I have to share it with others, my perfectionism won't let me make it ugly.
Good question. I actually have an entire workshop on this. So yeah, I'll drop that in the chat as well. But before I do that, I will briefly answer. Yes. So I think, so there's a lot of different stages that perfectionism shows up. Like for me, at first it was kind of the beginning stages where I couldn't even make myself do art because I knew it wouldn't be good. So I would never do it. And then there's like the next stage, which is that you can do the art, but you can't show it to people. And you know, there's stages in between, but I think one recommendation is to find out what the sticking point is. Or also, sorry, first question, do you actually want to share it? If the answer is no, then don't, you know? But
Oops, is it just me? I can't hear Lauren anymore.
No, I thought it might've been just
want
me too.
To share it. And
oh, sure. Lauren, your last couple of sentences were not audible.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yes. I said, yes. Just repeat what you said.
Okay. What was the last thing you heard?
I think you said, I believe.
great place to remind me. Let's see. What was I saying? Oh, okay.
So it was all about the perfectionism question, right? That you're saying something about that you did it in stages regarding making ugly art. Uh-oh, it's Lauren frozen.
If you want to,
Lauren's
yes.
Frozen again.
Can you hear me still?
No. Sorry, no. We lost you again. If you want to try turning off your video just for a second, sometimes that helps.
I'm All right, let's see. Testing.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. okay. Yeah, just let me know if I go out again. Okay, so first ask yourself if you want to even share it. If the answer is no, then don't. But if the answer is, I do want to share it, I'm just too afraid to because of this perfectionism is getting in the way, then figure out what is like a kind of a roundabout way that you can post it. So like, is it that you're afraid of what people you know are going to say, like people in your life? If so, then you can start an anonymous account and share it anonymously so that people don't have to know it's you. And then that might kind of give you the courage to eventually start sharing it with people you know. Or conversely, you can start by sharing it with people you know and trust, people who you know aren't going to be dicks about it. See what they say. And then that might give you a little more courage. So it's like, you know, baby steps. And that's kind of that training your body that it's okay to release imperfect things in the world. Definitely check out my episode that came out today about tolerating imperfection, because we talk about that, like training your body one step at a time, that it's okay to have imperfect things and release them out into the world. And I will drop the link of my workshop.
Excellent. Thank you. And you are back up. Your audio is clear.
Somebody in my family has a problem with that, which I won't name because we're still being recorded. But yeah, she's a professor, and getting her degree is very difficult because every time she had to write something, she would work on it endlessly to get it mm-hmm. perfect and miss deadlines and all that sort of thing. And it took her more years than I've ever heard of anyone to get her degrees, partly because of that.
Yeah. I know that feeling well.
That is a serious struggle. I know people also that had that same problem being able mm-hmm. to finish because they didn't want to turn in something that wasn't perfect, right. But it's right. never perfect. Surprise. Right, right. You'll never be done.
I worked at General Electric or a company that General Electric took over, I'll say. And there's a lot of things I didn't like about Jack Welch. But one of his statements that was widely dispersed through the corporation was kind of true. I was an engineer and you're working on things. And he said, sometimes perfection is the enemy of good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ooh, that's true.
Yeah, because like if someone feels that way and they're an engineer, you're never going to release your product ever.
Yeah, I guess that's true exactly. In every field.
Yep.
Really good advice. Well, I think that about wraps us up for the questions. Oh, no, wait, Rob, you might have had one final follow-up, it looks like.
Yeah, somebody just asked, is it perfectionism to think that your ugly art isn't ugly enough?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I ran into this actually quite a bit when I was kind of delving into this whole ugly art phenomenon. I would challenge myself to make it uglier because there would be times where I would make something and I'm like, but it's not ugly. And then I'd be like, well, I have to mess it up now and make it actually ugly. And then my husband pointed out, he's like, isn't that just a different form of perfection? I was like, shit, you're right. So yeah, I have since started practicing letting go of that, which why, like Kara, you mentioned, like, you thought that my scribbles earlier weren't ugly at all. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, sometimes they don't end up that ugly. Like sometimes it's a hideous octopus and other times it's some really pretty scribbles. And it just, exactly, Nico, you shouldn't worry how it turns out, beautiful, ugly, whatever. I think the ugly art is really like a mindset of like, you go in just giving yourself that permission to make something bad. And then however it turns out is however it turns out.
Okay, thank you.
And I think the chat agrees that octopus was not ugly either, but we appreciate you sharing it with us.
I love his little jack-o'-lantern face. It's my favorite part.
It was great. That was wonderful. Yeah, that was very delightful. Like I love art like that. That made me happy. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Recovering from Religion is a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to provide hope, healing, and support to those struggling with issues of doubt and non-belief. Hope, healing, and support is waiting for you on our website, recoveringfromreligion.org. There you can speak or chat with a trained agent who will work with you through your struggles and doubts or to help find resources that may work for you. You can also find local Recovering from Religion support groups in your area for the long-term recovery work. Resources specifically curated for those struggling with doubts, disbelief, and trauma can also be found on the RFR website. To connect with a secular therapist in your area, go to seculartherapy.org and create an account. If you'd like to support the work that RFR does, you can donate or sign up as a volunteer on the Recovering from Religion website. It's also a big help subscribing to the RFR YouTube channel, our blog, or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Questions, comments, and suggestions can be emailed to us at rfrx@recoveringfromreligion.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll be with us next time on the Recovering from Religion podcast.